Now, obviously, we covered some of the numbers there, but can you give us a bit more of an insight into the impact of feral and domestic cats on our native animal populations?
Yeah, sure. So the impact of cats is particularly severe in Australia, mostly because the animals here evolved without any cat-like predators, and they've got really low rates of reproduction, so they're really readily compromised by such an efficient predator that's all over Australia, from the desert to the mountains. So we've got the feral cats. They comprise about one-third of the cats in Australia, while the others are pet cats. And feral cats have the highest toll on our native wildlife. The number of feral cats varies according to conditions, but usually there's around 2.1 million feral cats in the bush, and each of these kills almost 800 mammals, birds and reptiles per year. Mm. And collectively, they eat about 2 billion reptiles, birds, frogs and mammals, and over a billion invertebrates per year. So in most years, we've got more pet cats in Australia than feral cats in an average year. And they make really great pets, but unfortunately, there's a dark side to them. About two-thirds of pet owners allow their cats to roam and hunt, and that amounts to about 2.1 million roaming pet cats, each of which kills an estimated 110 animals per year. And in a place like Sydney, where you've got some really beautiful bushland that can, you know, have an impact on urban wildlife like bandicoots and fairy wrens.
Yes, I was unfortunately saying a little bit earlier in the program, I've experienced this firsthand with a flatmate of mine when I used to live in a share house who had a pet cat, and this thing would be regularly, almost daily, butchering stuff like possums, bandicoots and native birds that we happen to have in this kind of area. So the impact, that 2 billion native animals, it is an unimaginable number, but it's quite easy to see when we are talking about such a large number of cats.
Yeah, it's really, really worrying.
What kind of measures do we currently have in place that are meant to be creating a safety net for our native animals?
So we've got environmental laws, but unfortunately our environmental laws and the governance systems around those are relatively ineffective. Australia, as you know, has the worst extinction record of any country in the world. Our laws are failing to protect our native plants and animals, and an independent review of our main environmental law, the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, which was released recently, confirmed that our legislation is not fit for current or future environmental challenges. So we're talking about habitat loss and changed bioregimes, weeds, feral animals, including cats and foxes, and of course climate change. So we've got the three tiers of government in Australia, which makes the management of environmental issues quite a big challenge. So in terms of cats, they're recognised as a key threat to native wildlife, and there is a threat abatement plan in place, but there's no actual requirement to implement it. Then we've got each state and territory, which has different laws on cats. And then we've got the local governments, which have a really important role in managing pet cats. But then what happens on the ground is really quite variable, partly because of weak legislation, but basically there's just a lot that falls through the cracks. And this inquiry report has made some recommendations for some changes, but we argue more is needed.
Well, what kind of solutions, what kind of more are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about more consistency in the way cats are managed. So at the moment, local governments have a really strong role in local management of pet cat issues. But there's a lot of variety and inconsistency in the way they're managed around Australia. So, for instance, one local government area might have really strong measures relating to resexing and registration and microchipping, but the neighbouring one might have no measures in place. So there's an impetus for that neighbouring one not to do anything, and then sometimes the problems can actually get transferred. And then there's governments that have tried to set up local laws on cat containment, but that process just takes a really long time. Some have said that it takes over 5 years of time, and that includes multiple rounds of community consultation. That's just one local government area, and we've got 537 of those in Australia.
And unfortunately, it doesn't sound like some of these native species actually have that 5 years in them if we aren't to deal with that problem a little bit quicker. Is there anything sort of pet owners can do if people do own their own pet cats that they can do to help control their animals to prevent further wildlife killed?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are some misconceptions around. Prey deterrent advices, like bells, unfortunately, they don't work. So basically the main thing we suggest is that keeping cats contained 24/7 is the only responsible option. There's people who just allow their cat to roam during the day, but unfortunately that doesn't protect native wildlife because they can still hunt birds and lizards, and you won't necessarily see that they've done this. And they can also roam quite a distance. There's studies that have been done that show that the roaming pet cat can travel, you know, around 2 hectares, around the size of 2 football fields, and cats near bushland will tend to roam even further. So basically the key message we're saying is that it's not always easy, and there's barriers to this, but yeah, keeping the cats contained is the most responsible option, and there's lots of great resources out there for that.
Well, Tita, thank you very much. Do appreciate you joining us on this one.
Okay, my pleasure. Thanks, Sean.